Praise the Lord. It sure is good to see everybody here tonight. We're excited because we know that this next coming week, well, 1 week from tonight, we'll be right here again. But of course, Reverend Greer will be here. And then, of course, you remember those meetings start Tuesday at 7, Wednesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock. There's childcare available. Folks, let's go ahead. Let's get ready for these meetings. I'm excited. Folks, you know, these things aren't just, meetings like this, they're not just by chance. We don't just have Reverend Greer in, you know, because it sounds like something we should do. It is a God appointment, all right? And let's be at our appointments with the Lord. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And how many were here last Wednesday when my wife ministered? Many of you were here, and we appreciate that. And I watched that message. What a good message. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. I'll tell you what, it helped me and spoke to me. I'll tell you what, if you're looking at somebody and always thinking that you know something more than they, if they're in leadership or if they're, running something or just in general, if we look at people always with this idea that we know what's best for them, we've got to be careful about that because that would be offense or that would be wrong thinking. That's right. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And 2 weeks ago, I started talking about New Testament prophets and the significance of the prophet's office. Tonight, I'm going to call this message the prophet's reward. The prophet's reward. And this is something, I'm not going to go into great, great depth, but we got to see this in the Word and get a hold of it because we have an opportunity. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 7. Of course, we're going to read about the ministry offices here in just a moment. But so many people try to challenge the existence of modern day New Testament prophets. But folks, we know that there is such a thing. We know that the Bible tells us all about many prophets well after Jesus had already ascended into heaven. You know, we started over there 2 weeks ago. We went to Acts chapter 3, and then we saw that a prophet is somebody who speaks on the behalf of God. A prophet is somebody who is first and foremost a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, but they're also messengers of revelation. They will see things. They will be given things that not everybody will be given. We said this, that the prophet's office is a very, very serious thing. And we don't, condone this idea of all the silly modern day prophets that you see on TV. That doesn't mean every one of them is fake. I know that there's good ministers on there as well. But we got to be careful about, some of the shallowness or the cheapness that's being portrayed as the prophet's office. We know this, when we study the Bible, the prophet's office, it was so serious. They were men of God who spoke with such boldness that, many of them were killed for their faith, killed for their boldness. And, it was a very serious, serious thing, even in the New Testament. And so we started there. We looked at Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. It talked about how God always used prophets to speak to the world. And then we went on to Acts chapter, we went to chapter 11, and we saw the prophet Agabus. Remember, and also in that passage, it said that there were many prophets that came down from the church at Antioch, and we saw the prophet's office active and operating in the New Testament well after Christ had already ascended. And people act like, oh, there's no such thing as modern prophets today. Those are those folks that believe in that doctrine of cessation that says everything is ceased, tongues have ceased, the prophet's office has ceased, healing has ceased, miracles have ceased, fun has ceased. I mean, wait a minute. They want to just about take away anything and everything of the power of God, But no, those things have not ceased, and we're going to see that again. And then we saw Agabus there in Acts chapter 11. He prophesied a famine that came to pass. And it wasn't Candyland prophecies. It wasn't just like, hey, guess what? All your dreams are going to come true. It was, hey, there's trouble coming. There was divine warning, and they got prepared. And because of that warning, that famine did not hurt them, right? And then we went on to Acts chapter 13, and we saw that there were prophets and teachers in the church that was at Antioch. Paul, the apostle, was one of them. And remember, there was five men that were mentioned there. And so there were prophets in that church. And then we went ahead to Acts chapter 15, and we saw Judas and Silas being prophets themselves. They went and they traveled and they confirmed or strengthened the people of God as they traveled, right? And then we fast forwarded to Acts chapter 21 and we saw Agabus again prophesied Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. And a lot of people, they misinterpreted that prophecy. They said, Paul, therefore, don't go, you know. If that's going to happen, then you shouldn't go. And Paul already knew what that prophecy meant. To Paul, it meant he knew that he should go. He knew to go. He wasn't afraid of the arrest. Folks, we cannot look at things that seem negative and automatically think that God could not lead us through a wilderness or something that is unpleasant. The modern church has gotten so addicted to good feelings, they would never be able to perceive what God is saying to them if it meant going through a time that was less than perfect. Folks, we got to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit, regardless if we like what we're hearing or don't like what we are hearing. You understand that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so now we're going to reread this passage starting in verse 7. This is Ephesians 4, 7. And it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when Jesus ascended up on high, Jesus led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Everyone say gifts. Yes. And now verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he would fulfill all things. This is talking about Jesus. Amen. We know in those 3 days before his resurrection, he descended into the earth and paid our price in hell for us. And then in verse 11, it tells us these gifts that he gave to us. He gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice he gave these gifts when he ascended on high, all right? He gave them when he ascended. So these things didn't end at the ascension of Christ. They were just getting started at the ascension of Christ. And then verse 12 tells us what these gifts do. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and strengthening of the body of Christ. Is there anyone here that wants to be strengthened? Amen. How many of you want to do some ministry in your life, right? Amen. Whether you're full-time, paid for it or not, right? There's a ministry for each of us to complete. And now look at verse 13. It says, till, or we would use the word until, all right? Until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is there anyone that has come to the full measure and stature and the fullness of Christ? Is there anybody in here? Any takers? Any takers? No, right? Well, so now look at verse 13. It tells us how long these ministry offices will be in operation until we all reach the fullness or the stature, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Well, none of us are there yet. And so we need every one of these fivefold ministry offices until that time. So upon Jesus' ascension, the gifts came down, and the gifts are in operation until we all reach that full stature of Christ, all right? And so that has not happened yet. And so these offices are in operation. No one questions the pastor, the teacher, or the evangelist. Everyone seems to be, okay, we're okay with them. But all of a sudden they say, but the apostle and the prophet, let's get rid of them. Well, you can't do that because the scripture makes it very clear. There are prophets in the New Testament, all right? Yeah, there is some big differences between a New Testament prophet and an Old Testament prophet. We're not going to take the time to get into all that. But that office does exist. It does strengthen our life. It does protect us from false doctrine. You know, there's a grace in that office that we all need. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we're going to grow up, we need to hear from that office. Amen. And so tonight, go with me to Matthew chapter 10, and I want to talk about the prophet's reward. The prophet's reward. Go to Matthew chapter 10, and let's go to verse 40, Matthew 10, 40. There is a reward. And it's not just the prophet's office. There's a reward upon every office. All right, we need all of them. Honestly, we will spend, you know, the vast majority of our time learning from the pastor. We get that. A prophet isn't somebody that, you know, necessarily pastors a church all the time. There are exceptions, and there's times that there's people that stand in, you know, multiple offices. Obviously, Jesus was the only one that stood in all five. He was all five of them. And you might see, you know, someone who's a pastor and a teacher, or they stand, you know, in a measure in that prophet's office, in a measure in the teacher's office or pastor's office or something like that. But there's nobody that possesses all five of them except for Jesus himself. Go to Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at this reward system. Jesus speaking here, he says, "He that receives you receives me." All right. Now he's talking to his disciples. And he says, "And he that receives me receives him that sent me." So now by receiving somebody that's sent by the Lord Jesus, you receive Jesus himself. And then if you receive Jesus himself, you also receive the Father himself. And so now Jesus is putting emphasis on who he chooses, who he sends, who he equips. Folks, that's why we say it is no small thing when somebody comes into our church and they walk in these different offices. All right, we don't look at it as, well, yeah, we're just doing a little extra something, you know, we're just trying to, you know, stir something up at the church, we're doing it for the fun of it, or, you know, the pastor just thought we should do this. No, this is a Spirit-led appointment. And, you know, someone like Reverend Greer, he's not just, you know, coming to us. He's not showing up as a favor. He's being sent to us. He's being sent to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. "And he that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me." Now, hold your place there real quick. We're going to come right back to Matthew 10:40. So hold your place. We're coming right back. Go to John 13. I want you to see another quote of Jesus here concerning those that he sends to us. Praise the Lord. Go over to John 13:20. John 13:20. And we're going to go right back to Matthew 10:40, but I just want to again show you multiple verses about this. Jesus says in John 13:20, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives the Father that sent me," right? Whomsoever I send receives me. And so we got to ask ourselves, when somebody is being sent to our church, how are we going to treat them? We're going to treat them as if Jesus himself is here. We're going to treat him as if God the Father, you know, stepped off his throne and into our church. Now, when I say that, we are not talking about worshiping the ground that a man walks on. All right, because we've warned you about that too. You can, you know, you can go too far and start to think that the person themselves are, you know, you start to worship a personality or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is honor. We're talking about great care for them. All right, and we're going to talk about how to receive this reward. Go back to Matthew 10:40 again. So I wanted to show you John 13:20 because it says, "Whomsoever I send." Whomsoever. It does not have to be the Apostle Paul. It might not be Peter himself, okay? All right, it might not be Billy Graham back from the dead or Brother Hagin or somebody like that. You know and understand. It's whosoever or anyone that is brought to us. "He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me." In verse 41, he says, "He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Now, a lot of times that's where we stop reading, but we got to keep on going. "And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." but it's not done yet. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple or a believer, verily I say to you, he shall in no way lose his reward. Folks, do you see? Now, this is where I want to start here tonight. Do you see the reward system for how we treat the people of God in our life? The way you treat a believer should be, you know, somebody that you honor them and receive them well and you give to them because they are a child of God. So it's not just a reward system for the prophet. But notice it said also, he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. See, somebody that you know as somebody who's faithful to God, someone that serves God with all their heart, because you start to treat them with that honor and respect. Folks, I'm here to tell you the body of Christ is losing its respect and love for one another so quick. The selfish generation is getting into the church so quickly. People are only thinking about themselves and their own needs and how they want to be treated, and everybody's so quick to defend themselves. Well, are you looking for those that are faithful to Jesus and treating them well and with honor? Amen. Well, and then he says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. You know, so many times believers think, well, you know, the pastor or that traveling minister, the evangelist, you know, the man of God, the woman of God, they're in a special place. So, you know, they get rewarded like we, you know, we can't get the same kind of reward. But the good news is you don't have to be a prophet to be rewarded like a prophet. Do you see that? You know, of course. You know, percentage-wise, very few people of the body of Christ are going to walk in that office of a prophet. However, when we treat somebody and we honor them and we receive them because we know God uses them mightily, we can be rewarded beyond where we stand. Amen. People say, well, God's not fair. Aren't you glad he's not fair? You know, you can stand under a ministry of somebody that's, you know, walking these things out and living these things, and you can receive a reward. Amen. Because you recognize and you knew how God uses them. You honor them as such. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people think, you know, and it wouldn't just be the prophet's office. Any of the offices have a reward, all right? Because we all, myself included, we all have people over us. We all are supposed to walk in honor. We're all supposed to, you know, be grateful for the gifts in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the question is, how do we receive somebody that is sent to us? How do we receive? Meaning, how are we supposed to receive, you know, somebody that comes to us? How do we act and conduct ourselves? Well, first of all, I want to, you know, say this. If we're not called to one of the fivefold offices, and I tell you what, and I've mentioned this a few times, so many of God's people, they think that they're called to a fivefold ministry office, all right? I've mentioned that there's dozens of people around here at any given time that think that, and sometimes I have the unpleasant responsibility of telling them that they're not, and it is not fun, all right? Because, and I think, and I'm thinking the best, I think, you know, because we're taught that faith always reaches for the highest and faith always reaches for the best, that we just feel that if we want to do something for God or something great for God, we've got to be in one of those fivefold ministry offices. Folks, that is not true. If you're not called to one of those offices, believe me, you want nothing to do with them. You want nothing to do with them. You will know when you are called because, one, it will never leave you, and two, other ministry offices around you will see that, they will notice that, and they will call you up, all right? And so, you know, percentage-wise in the body of Christ, I mean, it's less than 2% that are called to a five-fold ministry office. However, now when I say this, you know, a lot of times Christians don't want to get excited about it, but we should. I'm also included in, you know, what I'm about to say because I have you know, a pastor in my life. I've got, you know, men and women in my life who are called and in those offices. So this is, you know, for myself as well. But if we're not called to the fivefold offices, we are all called to help and assist the fivefold ministry offices. We are all called to help and assist, or what Jesus said, we are called to receive them. We are called to receive them. You know, I have a call on my life to assist my pastor. I know that, you know, what I do, a lot of the things that I do are directed at the Jamestown Church, the Erie Church, my pastoring and things like that. But all of that ties into, I'm here as a result of serving my pastor. You know, my pastor needs me to be faithful in serving, you know, these churches. Because if I decided to get goofy, if I decided, you know, to walk out of line, I would create a lot of work for him. I would create a lot of work for him, because who do you think would have to, you know, show up and clean up the mess? It would be him, right? And so I don't want to do that. I don't want to make my pastor's life harder. I want to make my pastor's life easier. And I'm not preaching this to help myself here tonight. But if I do help myself a little bit, that'll be fine. It wasn't my intentions. It's not about me. It's about the offices. Amen. So how do we receive them? Well, one, we got to understand we're called to assist them. You know, we're called to help them. Folks, when I say this, please, 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 you know, I say it with the most sincere heart. I would never, ever tell you to worship the ground that anyone walks on. Please, you know, there's a difference between honor and worship. You know, we're to honor somebody. You don't have to worship them. And that doesn't mean every little tiny thing they're ever going to say you have to agree with. All right, let's just, you know, make that clear right now. There's no doubt there's been things that I've said that maybe somebody will be like, well, I don't, you know, completely agree with that. But it's not worth, you know, causing division over it, right? It's not worth hurting somebody over it, all right? You know, we're called to assist. Let me just say this. If you're not serving in full-time ministry, if you're not walking in these offices, let me just say this. I'll try to, you know, give you some behind the scenes. You have no idea what these people go through. You have no clue. And I say that even for myself, that, you know, what I see ministers go through and what they put up with and what they deal with. A lot of times, you know, Christians, they see ministers, they get to come in and, you know, they get to stand in every, you know, in front of everybody. Folks, what they do is very, very difficult. The pressure upon them, if somebody's living faithfully, if they're just all out for God, there's pressure there in ways you cannot even imagine, and especially the prophet's office. It is the most persecuted and hated office that is listed in the Word of God, because someone who's a true prophet is going to speak up and get bold. They are going to preach about sin and disobedience. They're going to prophesy things that people don't want to hear. You know, a true prophet is not somebody who's always very popular at all. All right. And so you got to understand that. But folks, and I say this for me, and I have, you know, the experience where I know and understand what it's like for me as a pastor. Believe me, I love what I do for God. I'm just saying there's so much to it that people never see, and they don't understand it, you know. And I see these other men of God, and I have a relationship, you know, with them, and I can, you know, and I'm privy of the things that they face and the trials that they go through and what it takes for them to be faithful. They need our help. You know what I mean? They need to be assisted. They need somebody making life, you know, easier for them. They need somebody to receive them, because there's so many out there that are not going to receive them. All right? There's so many out there. Now, it's one thing to not receive a prophet because their actions don't prove to be that of the prophet's office. There are a lot of people in this country that call themselves prophets that I would not receive into this church, you know? And when I say that, people get uncomfortable. They say, well, pastor, you know, who are you to say who is and who's not? It's not my job to say who is and who's not for the whole body of Christ, but it is my job to say who is and who's not right here. You know, and I'm telling you, there's plenty that are not, and there are plenty that are. And it is, in a local church, it is the pastor's job to know who's safe and who's not safe. All right. We are supposed to support the unity of the brethren around these offices. Amen. We are supposed to do the work of the ministry around them as well, to help and to serve. Obviously, in a local church, would be first and foremost. We are to honor what they honor. We are to hold sacred the things that they hold sacred and what they stand for, the things of God, all right? Now, the good news is, again, I'm gonna say it again, the prophet's reward doesn't only belong to the prophet. It belongs to those that receive them well, all right? Praise the Lord. All right, so how do we receive them? What should we do to be good receivers? Well, number one, be there. Be there, folks. Now, of course, I know that there are several that are not here tonight that are usually here for our Wednesday nights. And folks, there's going to be plenty of people that are going to be there, and they're there to receive, and I believe many of you will be there. But folks, there's going to be many from this church. I will stand up, and you'll hear me Sunday morning. You know, I've been saying it. We've been announcing it. Pastor Brad's been announcing it. You'll hear me this coming Sunday. I'll get up, and I'll give another special announcement where I'll say, church, I want you to be there. You know, and there's going to be people, and I understand that I'm not here to judge and try to get into what people got going on in their life, but I'm telling you, there's going to be people that hear that, and there's going to be people that will still just decide not to go. It'll just be simply a decision where they'll say, eh, I'll tell you what, that's the number one way, you know, you're not going to receive from an office if it's not even worth your while to even be there. If you don't even value the recommendations of your pastor to be in that place, there's something you're going to miss. I'm not having Reverend Greer in because he's my friend or my pal. We get along great. We have a good friendship, but that's not why he's coming. He's not coming so I can point you towards him and so you can be his little subjects or something like that. That's not the point of it. The point is that there is a divine appointment. There is things to be said, things to be spoken, all right? Amen. And there, that is a divine appointment with God. Folks, praise the Lord. So number one, be there. Value what God brings into your midst. You know, again, I'm not the micromanager of people's lives, but I just know this, you know, when I look back at my life and I see how God has blessed me and led me and things, I've built my whole life around the local church. Built my whole life around the local church, you know. When there's people in town, I'm going to be there. You know, if my pastor tells me he thinks I should be somewhere, I'm going to be there. Does that mean that you have to agree with everything? No, but it just means that there's a call there. And let me tell you what, 99.9% of it is completely trustworthy. You understand? There's no minister on the face of this earth that is going to just cross every T and dot every I. But Reverend Greer gets real, real close. I don't cross every T and dot every I, but I'd like to believe I get close, all right? And so everybody's always going to have preferences or whatever, but if your pastor, you know, recommends you to be there, be there. It all starts with your attendance. Think of the things that we give attendance to all the time. We give attendance to TV. We give attendance. You know, it doesn't feel like you're attending a television show, but that's exactly what we're doing. You know, we attend sporting events for our kids, and we attend to all this stuff. Folks, if we're willing to give that much attendance to all these different things, we better give attendance to when the man of God is in our church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't even believe that this is my opinion when I say this. I don't believe anything comes in front of the local church. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it. Of course, people are going to take vacations. Of course, you know, there's going to be times when you know, someone couldn't be there or I couldn't be there or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, there's nothing frivolous that we're like, well, what could I do tonight? Well, I could be in, you know, I could be in the house of God, you know, or I could be at, you know, Billy's sporting event. And so many times, folks, as a pastor, I am constantly talking to people who think that their life is in crisis. And if your life is in such crisis, I'm gonna here to tell you, first of all, I'm not a crisis manager, but you're gonna get your help where? In the house of God. Amen. Be there. What do you give attendance to? I want to be here because I want to receive. I want to not just be here, but it's how I'm going to be here. And that's the second thing that we can do to receive the prophet's reward. How you attend. Number one, we're here. Two, how are you going to be here? How do you show up? Let's just ask the simple question first. Are you on time? Are you on time? It's amazing to me how late people will be to the house of God. You know, they'll show up on time for everything else, but they're just constantly late. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on Wednesday night, and the vast majority of you were here like a half hour early, you know? But believe me, I see a lot of people who are never on time for the things of God, and then they're like, well, Pastor, I don't get it. I don't understand. We all want God to be on time for us. Listen, how we conduct ourselves towards sacred things is going to determine how our life goes. I know people don't want to hear that. They say, Pastor, you're insensitive. You cannot take sacred power and treat it unworthy and expect the power to flow to you. Let's ask the other question of how you attend. How attentive are you at what's being said? Folks, and again, I know not everybody learns the same, but you better believe when Reverend Greer is here, I've got notebooks that I have saved up over the years. Now, a lot of times I'm doing the preaching, so obviously I don't have my notebook. I have all my sermon notes here in my iPad, but I've got a literal hand, like I've got many of them now that I've just stacked up over the years. But when Reverend Greer is here Tuesday night, I'm going to be sitting in that chair with my Bible, with my notebook open, and I am going to be listening for the things that I know I'm to take and apply to my life. I'm going to write them down. Why? Could I remember them? I sure could remember them, but I'm going to value them one step further, and I'm going to write them down. Amen. How attentive, how valuable is it to you, what's being said? Okay, here's another question. What enthusiasm level are you going to bring to the praise and worship? All right, I'll tell you, folks, Reverend Greer, you know, or whoever, I mean, every service, this applies to every service, you know, but especially if we're having a guest in, you know, it's one thing if I stand up to take a service and the congregation has been, you know, kind of dead when it comes to praise and worship. I don't mean our praise and worship team, but folks, I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to be honest with me. There are some services that are just a higher level of enthusiasm than others. And Pastor Brad has the wonderful duty and does such a great job. You see me and Pastor Brad up here, like on a Sunday morning, he comes up, hey, we, you know, we greet each other and stuff. And every once in a while, I'll be like, they're slow today, Pastor Brad. They're slow today. Go get them. You know, not aggressively. He's not like, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, that's not what I'd look for, and that's not his style. But you see he's got such a gift of exhortation. You know, he'll just start going, and what he's doing, he's exhorting you to bring your level up. And there's many times when that has literally turned the service around. There's literally, listen, folks, here's some behind the scenes ministry reality TV for you. There's sometimes, you know, when it's, you know, time to take the pulpit, and it's, you know, happened throughout my ministry, not just here, but other places that I've preached or whatever, where all of a sudden I take the pulpit and the people had not participated in worship. And it's like, you know, I stand there and it's like, oh, dear Lord, I wish this could be over right now. And there's nothing worse for a minister than to be handed a service and the people are just broom, 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 broom. Now, the fact that I can teach and my gifts are a little bit more compatible, meaning if you know the level in the service sometimes is if it, you know, wasn't very enthusiastic or whatever, I can teach through that. I can teach through that, but there's other offices that are more dependent upon the enthusiasm. They're more dependent upon praise and worship. Let's not dare hand this pulpit off to Reverend Greer and make him wish the service was over before it started. Folks, those services, I'm gonna be honest with you, there's some services I come out of service and I feel like I'm walking on clouds. It's so light, it was so fun, there was such a refreshing spirit in it. And there's times if you know, the worship or whatever, you know, and people are dragging or whatever it is, those are the services where I get beat up. I get beat up, and every once in a great while that happens, and it takes days to recover. Days to recover from it. It's weird. It's hard to explain. It's not just a physical fatigue. It's also like a spiritual fatigue. Let's not do that to anyone. And believe me, it doesn't happen around here too often, but every once in a while it does. And folks, that's like not a blame game or anything like that, but let's make sure. I just believe every service, I don't care what day I've had. Folks, you know, I have days like you have. You know, we all have those days where it's like, you know, where it's like you're just dragging your flesh to be in church. Is there anybody that has ever had a day like that before? Nope, nobody. Oh, good. Five honest people. Praise the Lord. All right. There's days, you know, even Wednesdays or even Sunday mornings or Saturday nights on the way to Erie, my flesh will just be fighting. You know, but it's like as soon as I go into that building, I am going to bring every ounce of enthusiasm I have. I just tell myself, you know, I watch these football players. They go into the tunnel and they're getting ready to run out of the tunnel. And they, of course, obviously, I'm not going to do the dance and all that. But I'm like, if they're going to get excited about a football game, you better believe as soon as I enter God's house, I'm going to turn it up. You know, how weird it would be if you go to a Bills game and, of course, Josh Allen, the big star quarterback, you know, and they're announcing the offense, and then it's time, and number 17, yeah, quarterback, Josh Allen, and he just comes walking out of the tunnel, yeah. Acting like he didn't want to be there. Yeah. You're sitting there, and you're watching, and you're thinking, well, man, if he don't want to be here, I'm not so sure I want to be here anymore. Come on now. It's not the fact that we're just here. How are we here? What enthusiasm do we give to worship? How attentive, what value do we place on what's being said? How teachable are we? How correctable are we? I want to be corrected. I want to be responsive. And it's not about just being a cheerleader for the preacher, but it's just, you know, that engagement. It helps to draw upon that gift. You just want to, you know, receive it. All right. Here's the third thing we can do to receive the prophet's reward. We can add our faith and expectation ahead of time. Folks, we still got almost a week. We've got 6 days to go. How about we pray a little extra time for these meetings? Lord, we pray your will is done. Father, we pray Reverend Greer speaks as the oracles of God. Father, we're going to receive what we hear. We're going to be attentive to what we hear. How about we pray for these meetings? Father God, we pray that you would give Reverend Greer utterance in the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray that boldness would be given to him. You know, Lord, and I mean, I say this for myself, Lord, if there's something in my life that needs to be corrected, I want to hear it. I want that. Just go ahead. Say it, whether he says it in the pulpit or if he says it to me privately or publicly. Let's have it. Let's have it. Lord, I just, and Lord, you know, it can be, you know, you can say all the good things you want to me too. That's fine. I don't want you to think that I'm just a glutton for punishment. But I'm telling you, seek the correction. Amen. Be responsive. Bring your expectations. Pray for these meetings, God's plan, his will to be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't just say, oh, great. Oh, we've all been guilty of this. Oh, we got meetings tonight. Don't bring that into the house of God. You can't help your flesh feeling that way sometimes. All right? But guess what? Tell your flesh no. Stand up to your flesh. Stand up to your flesh. The Bible says the flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. Stop playing nice. Your flesh is like, no, I don't like this. Well, too bad. Folks, I don't understand. Do you think I'm deceived enough to think that your flesh always wants to be in my services? I'm not that deceived. I'm not that dumb. I can tell some of you right now don't want to be here. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but of course, you know, honestly, every time there's, you know, extracurricular meetings and stuff, the devil will come to my mind and say, you're in church enough. You're in church all the time. Last thing you need is another church service. It's just, you know, you got to put your flesh down. You got to put your flesh down. So how about you add your faith and your expectations? Number one, be there. Number two, how you're there, right? Are you on time? Are you attentive? Are you enthusiastic? Are you responsive? Three, add your faith and your expectation ahead of time. Amen. And now here's the fourth thing that we can do to be, to receive the prophet's reward. Be a giver. Be a giver. Let's support this ministry. Folks, you know, our church is not known for bringing in a ton of ministries. There's a lot of good ones out there, but I'm extremely selective about who we bring in here, who we bring through here. I'm very careful about it. And if somebody I bring in, it's because I truly believe in their ministry. I believe in their call. I believe in the message that God gives them to speak. And they should be financially supported. I mean, the scripture says that if we've received spiritual things, should we not sow financial things, right? Amen. And so we know that. The Bible says that if a man preaches the gospel, he should live on the gospel, meaning that Reverend Greer is called, he should live on that. Amen, meaning he should be financially supported, and we get that opportunity. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's where we're going to just unhook from the word here. We got a few minutes. What I'd like to do is just spend a few minutes just praying for these meetings and you know, getting together. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's receive. Let's be honorable. Let's, you know, put our flesh under. Let's get enthusiastic. Let's praise. Let's worship. Let's make it so when Reverend Greer steps into that, he can just flow with whatever God has for him. Amen. Let's be that. Let's value the gifts. I'll tell you what, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are gifts to our lives. Let's honor and value them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and let's just take a few moments to pray. Father God, we just bless you and glorify you. Father, you are holy. Father, you are good. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts that you've given to the body of Christ, to strengthen us, to edify us, Father God, that we could do something worthwhile, that we could do the work of the ministry, that we could be fully grown and mature, that, Lord, that we could dwell together in unity. Father, if we're not all called to these offices, we certainly are all called to assist and to help these offices. Father, we know that we have an appointment with you coming up this coming week. And Lord, we just receive the one that you have sent to us. And Father, we're grateful for this ministry that is coming to us. We're gonna be receivers. We're gonna be honorable. We're gonna be here, and not just be here, but we're gonna be enthusiastic. We're gonna worship you with all that is within us. We're gonna bless your holy name. Father God, we praise you and worship you. You are holy and good. Father, we're gonna value what is spoken. Father, if we need to be encouraged, we'll be encouraged. Father, if we need to be corrected, we will welcome correction. Father, we know regardless, we're gonna get direction. Father, you are gonna speak to us, and we're praying ahead of time that, Lord, that your will is done in these meetings. Father, we pray that Reverend Greer would speak with utterance of the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray that he would speak with boldness of the Spirit. Father, we pray that as he ministers your word by the Holy Ghost, that it would sink deep within our hearts, that it would establish us in this relationship with you. Father, we do not take these things lightly. We count them sacred. Father, they are holy things. These offices are supernaturally given. Lord Jesus, you gave us these gifts upon your ascension, and they are good until you come back. And Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Father, we just submit ourselves. We yield, Father God. We humble ourselves and we cry out ahead of time that your will would be done. Everything said that you want said would be said. Father, everything you want done will be done. Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you, Lord God. We bless you. And now, Father, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost, that as we pray in other tongues, the Holy Ghost takes hold and prays for these meetings and prays out your perfect will. And Lord, we're gonna be doers of it. We're gonna be receivers of it. Come on, everybody, let's just pray together in the Holy Ghost. You better lay down that offense. You better lay down that offense. You better put that down. You better leave it alone. You better forgive and be gracious, for it is hindering you. There is something that God is trying to get over to you, but it's hindered because you're offended. You're upset. Be gracious. Be merciful. Admit your faults. Confess them one to another, lest you be hindered any longer. You were so upset that you almost didn't come tonight. You almost did not get in your vehicle. And even as you sat here, you found it hard and difficult. Get rid of that, for that's not of God. Ambra mande se quebra bade se quebra bade. Lodana bratiste ki prano sokote le preta lotora mandes sotore mandes ki pra bandese ki bramando soko bramande otra mandes ki pra patasa otra mandes ki pra badoso comande se quebro sotra mandes ki tra bate se ketoro mandes esse ki pra pato soko bramande se ketoro mande Proto soko pra mandese, o dramande se quebre badese quebraba de sike, o drabate se quebre. Oh, Father, we thank you. There is a great reward when we decide to love one another. Father, just because we are brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean everybody does exactly everything we want them to or think they should. And Father, we thank you. Your grace and your mercy. 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 Oh, Father, that we would be merciful as you are merciful. Father, we know that that potential is there. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. Great mercy. Great mercy. Great mercy. Oh, Brabasike, Father, we bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We fully receive. We honor and receive all that will be done in our midst. Lord God, we receive the man of God. We just are going to be honorable. We're going to be enthusiastic. Father, we're going to take great joy in the things of God. We count it a sacred appointment with you. Father, all that you want done will be done. All that you want said will be said. Father, we thank you. The Spirit of God has his way in our midst. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Yeah. Oh, Father, we praise you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. The people of God are going to have to be more merciful in these days and hours. In these last times, you will have to walk in greater mercy. You will have to be great in your mercy for others, great in your patience, great in your forgiveness. There are so many obstacles waiting to get you offended. Lay it down. Forgive and be merciful. Forgive and be merciful. There are so many pressures, so many pitfalls, so many opinions. Be careful. Do not allow offense to steal from you any longer. Father, we just bless you. Merciful, merciful, mercy and forgive. Father, we can be merciful, even if that means we don't always trust somebody or something. Maybe they said something to us that we didn't like, or they did something behind our back or whatever. But we can be merciful. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Glorify, glorify, glorify you tonight. Father, we thank you for our upcoming service this Sunday. We're going to come in here and we're going to bring our best. And then starting Tuesday night, going through Thursday night, we're going to bring our best. Father, we're going to receive and we're going to have a great time in you. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You know, I think it's real interesting. As soon as we jumped into prayer, of course, our intentions are to pray for these meetings. And as soon as I jumped into prayer, all of a sudden, you know, the Spirit of God just showed me, if that makes sense, showed me offense. And so I'm not sure of, you know, who that is directly for, but let's just all learn from it. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's receive tonight's offering and we'll be dismissed. Just love you. Appreciate you. Man, is everybody enjoying this stretch of nice weather that we're getting? I know it was a little cool out there today, but that's all right. I'll take the sunshine. I'll take the sunshine. So much so that they're actually giving warnings now about, you know, banning fires and stuff because it's been so dry. And I always think to myself, really? A fire ban, you know, banning on burning and such. I mean, we go 3 days without rain, and now they tell us the place is going to burn down. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we give. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. It's a great joy and an honor to have a church family. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. It's an honor to give, and every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Lord, you are faithful and good. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. And what we're going to do, we'll go ahead. Once the offering has gone by, let's just go ahead and stand to our feet. We have just a moment it will take. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. Folks, just a quick reminder, we do have folks that stay to lock up the building. I'm not trying to be rude and shuffle everybody out. I'm just trying to be cognizant of their time. You know, people spend their Wednesdays in work and then they come here, and I just want to, you know, protect them. And so that's why we do that. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, I command your blessing upon each one here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You're dismissed.